And here we go, here we go.
Welcome to the FTN Dynasty Podcast.
Helping you create the ultimate dynasty.
Welcome to the NFL.
Here's your host, Jeremy Popolars.
Let's go!
Welcome in, folks. We are here. Football has arrived. We are closing in on the end of the first week of some training camps, mostly rookies. Getting some videos out there. You know, we saw a little bit of Jeremiah Love today. We saw and heard some good things on Jonathan Brooks. So the news is starting to flow, and I feel like we're all starting to get the itch. Everybody's starting to tune back in here for fantasy football. We're all getting ready. Us dynasty players have been around. We're like, about time, folks. All right. Maybe some of us are rechecking in after maybe a July hiatus after we finished up our rookie drafts, and we're getting ready to start getting some actionable news, hopefully. We all know how training camp goes, and that's a little bit of the theme of the episode today. We're going to talk about a little bit of some camp battles that we should maybe be keeping an eye on, maybe some information that we should care about and information we shouldn't care about. I think when it comes to training camp, it's a lot of noise sometimes. You know, coaches are obviously going to say good things about most players. It's kind of how this process goes, so it's always weeding out what's good and what's just the fluff, you know. And it's a common conversation you'll have on most podcasts and a lot of things. I feel like we're in that zone at the moment as dynasty managers where we have probably made some trades. We're on the fence about some. Maybe we're working some deals in the back doors for some players. Too many splash deals, probably not going down at this time in the leagues, but you never know. It happens. Either way, this training camp news will sway player values pretty heavily. So we're gonna get ready for it. All right. So we're going to talk about here, like I said, a little bit. We'll talk about some players that we're looking at. Obviously, we have some rookies coming in that are exciting. You know, we're going to get our first real taste of Carnell Tate, Jordan Tyson, Kyle Lemon. These guys at the top of the draft that we drafted pretty high for our rookie drafts that could be really game changers for us on many of our dynasty rosters. And it was a little bit of a weaker class, but you know, you had that second tier of receivers that are exciting to see kind of something of what will become here. And if it's likely one or two of them do emerge as fantasy assets, you have Antonio Williams with a huge opportunity in Washington. Miami has a huge opening at wide receiver for the plethora of rookie receivers that they took. You have Malachi Fields in New York who has an opportunity. You know, where's Omar Cooper stand amongst that? A guy that we've been drafting late first round. You know, is it going to be Kenyan Sadiq? Is it going to be Omar Cooper that has more value for us here in year one? A lot of this stuff we'll start to be able to iron out here over the next month. And so let's get ready for it. You know, we kind of want to have some surface level knowledge of some of these players if we don't, and where they may fall into and what roles they likely have in year one, and whether we should be panicked about it or whether we have a guy who is a fantasy asset for us, will all unfold. Again, not much news this week. You know, we do have players reporting to camp. You know, you're getting some stuff. Like I said, you know, we saw some highlights from the Arizona today, right before I hopped on here, which is Thursday. Hopped on, you know, a little bit before that, you know, we're seeing some clips, you know, basic drills, early stuff, simple stuff for these players to kind of work in. You know, good news on Jonathan Brooks. Kind of seems like Dave Canales is saying, yeah, he's looking good, which no surprise. We've always known Jonathan Brooks was an explosive player. Yes, you could be concerned two ACLs later that it may not be the same explosivity. Still a younger guy. Still, I think that return rate is likely still solid to be fairly explosive. The big question for him, again, it's going to be the health. You know, if you're rostering Jonathan Brooks, he's a guy you're still holding on to for sure because you likely drafted him in the first and or you traded for him and maybe you got him on a discount. Probably not a player I'm trying to go get right now. Feels like, and again, league dependent, much like we talked about in the trade episode. But he's a guy that the market's getting a little bit hotter on as it goes on. You may still have a few weeks of openness to where you can get him at a reasonable price. I do think he's worth it if the price is right. And, you know, trade secret, every player's worth it if the price is right, right? That's what it really matters, right? All right, so let's talk about it. There's a lot of positional diversity here. I feel like as the seasons go on, these rookie classes are getting better. teams are getting better and there's more parity throughout the league. Let's just be honest. It is what it is. You know, we're seeing teams that it's like, okay, who's really the front runner for the Super Bowl? It's just because of parity in this league has gotten there. We're seeing less people run away with the whole top 12 positional battles. You know, you really have a top tier of guys, which is about the top five. And yeah, those guys separate themselves in most positions, but then the rest are fairly pretty equally adequate between 6 to 24, depending on what position you're at. You know, you're talking obviously a difference in some points, but when it really breaks down to it, they're all fairly respectable and fairly productive. You know, and we're looking for different things at each position. Obviously, quarterback, you know, depending on whether you're in one quarterback or super flex, that changes really how deep we're diving into some of the quarterbacks and whether some of these guys are playable. You know, like the Arizona Cardinals, like, are we really touching any of these quarterbacks outside of super flex? No, they're guys that are probably not even on rosters. You know, maybe someone drafted Carson Beck this year in your rookie draft, but the Cardinals quarterbacks are, we're not really looking at. I mean, you may have somebody who really believes in Jacoby Brissett in a dynasty league. Obviously, you might have him sitting there as a guy that you had last year, just didn't drop him. And there was some production from this offense, but it's not guys that we're really actively going to grab here in Arizona. The biggest one for me at quarterback is going to be obviously Atlanta. That's a big one that we're going to want to pay attention to between Tua Tagovailoa and Michael Penix Jr. Who wins that job? I think that offense can be fairly exciting. I know there's not a ton of players as far as explosivity goes on the offensive side of it, but Kyle Pitts, Drake London, Bijan Robinson, those three alone are going to help support a quarterback for sure. If Zachariah Branch hits, Jahan Dotson kind of regains some of his form, you're going to have some passing options for some of these players. I lean that it's probably going to be Tua. I think early reports, again, that there's some talk that they're impressed with his accuracy. I think Tua is a better quarterback than Michael Penix at the moment. Both have struggled with their issues. Penix has a stronger arm. Not going to argue that. But as far as a system quarterback that's going to get you the ball where you want it at a time you want it, it's going to be Tua over Michael Penix. So I do think Tua ends up winning this job. If you are in Superflex and you're trying to find yourself a fairly affordable quarterback, Tua may be a guy that is affordable at the moment. You might not have to sell the bank. Go ahead and get yourself secured there with Tua Tagovailoa. Other than that, the quarterback position, there's not a ton that I'm really concerned with. Like the Browns, I'm not. I it's likely Deshaun Watson. I think that's probably who wins that job. We may see Shedeur Sanders again though at some point, but it's probably Deshaun Watson if you really care. Don't really care too much about that Browns offense this year. Even for dynasty, like I think they draft a quarterback next year and that's probably their guy. So not overly concerned there. The Colts, you could argue, is interesting. Not really caring. I think it's Daniel Jones once he's healthy. And as long as he's healthy out there in week one, it's likely he goes. Maybe limited some, but again, not really a battle to be said. The Raiders, we know what that's going to be. It's going to be Kirk Cousins to start the season. Fernando Mendoza will come in at some point. And after that, I mean, you're really maybe Minnesota, Kyler Murray and J.J. McCarthy, those two battling at it. I think that ends up being Kyler Murray pretty easily. So I'm not really considering it a huge battle. I think J.J.'s kind of proven that he needs some time. And maybe, I mean, Kyler's not a runaway. You know, I'm not a huge Kyler Murray supporter, but I do think he likely wins that job. They brought him in to bring competition, and I think he's just a better quarterback than J.J. McCarthy at this point in their careers. Doesn't mean McCarthy's dead in the water though, so if you do roster him, don't just drop, especially in super flex, right? Don't act like it's that crazy. I've seen crazier things. All right, so running backs, that's where it could get fairly interesting. I feel like we have a lot of ambiguous type of running back situations going into the season. I feel like this is the way the NFL is trending. You know, they're getting away from that workhorse type of runner, and you're getting into some running backs by committee. You know, you're going to see that in Arizona. Jeremiah Love, Tyler Allgeier, James Conner, Trey Benson. Like, there's a list there. They're names, for sure. But I do think Love and Allgeier are going to be kind of a mix. You know, you're going to have some of that stuff. The ones that are really intriguing, obviously, is Carolina. We talked about Jonathan Brooks for a split second there earlier in the show. Brooks and Chuba Hubbard, like, no one's running away with this. I do think Hubbard's probably their guy to start the season, but a little falter and some splashes from Jonathan Brooks, and he could easily take that job. Chuba Hubbard last year wasn't overly explosive. We saw a step back from what we saw the year prior. Was fairly productive based on a volume basis, but we definitely saw Rico Dowdle outplay him down the stretch and kind of earn himself the starter role, and then got himself a contract in Pittsburgh, who we'll also talk about here in a minute. But Jonathan Brooks will have an opportunity as long as he can stay healthy. It's really a two-man backfield there. You know, Trevor Etienne, there's some other players in the room, but it really is between Hubbard and Brooks. If Brooks was to go down as an injury, then it gets interesting. You know, I don't think there's anybody who's super fantasy relevant, but if you were to lose two, I guess, then we'll be talking. So we'll talk about week 8 or something. If some craziness happens here in Carolina, we'll talk about Trevor Etienne or maybe the ghost of A.J. Dillon. He's on the roster. Could be it. Yeah, but that's an interesting watch. I'm going to have my eye definitely in that room. The Browns. I mean, the Browns are interesting. You know, we're dubbing Quinshon Judkins this great asset that we want this season. The Browns offensive line struggled last year. They may have a struggling passing attack. Yes, they may run the ball a lot. But there's a guy that's interesting. I mean, Dylan Sampson is interesting behind him. So I'm going to see. I want to pay attention to Sampson specifically. Judkins, again, and as us as dynasty managers, it's a different game than the redraft approach is what we're really looking for in this time period. You know, in redraft, you're looking for who's that guy that's going to be productive now. You know, in dynasty, depending on where your team is, you know, you might be trying to forecast a bit for the season. And Judkins is a lot. Like, you're not moving off of Quinshon Judkins. But, you know, if you have Judkins, Dylan Sampson might not be a bad option. I'd like to see if what we get in training camp, any indications that he might have standalone value might help us for redraft as well. You know, some of those nice players, me, cough, also play redraft. Pretty sure that's kind of where most of us graduate from, if you want to call Dynasty the harder one than redraft. But either way, you could go backwards, like me a little bit. Basically, it was Dynasty came to redraft, you know what I'm saying? But yeah, either way, Dylan Sampson's an interesting one to watch. I guess the running back two situation there in Cleveland could be intriguing. The Cowboys feel like something that people are making into something. Javonte Williams was very good last year. He was top half of the class for running backs that qualified at FTN in explosive run rates, touchdowns, yards, everything. He was very good. It was more than just a guy type of production there in Dallas. He leaned heavily on the touchdowns, obviously, but with this explosive Cowboys passing attack, it's going to be the same way in 2026. So after that, though, you know, it's the fun battle of Jaden Blue, Malik Davis, and Phil Maffa. I am intrigued of those three. I'm definitely watching that. I think if you can, I would pick one of those three that you really believe is the guy and maybe try to acquire him. Jaden Blue brings an off-speed type of pitch. Malik Davis is very similar to Javonte Williams and kind of won the job last year, so he maybe has a leg up, but one of these guys is going to have value at some point this season. So an interesting to watch job there. The next one, Denver. We're basically going alphabetical order here. Like I said, when I started to talk about the running backs, it's almost every single backfield, but Denver's intriguing. JK returns, feels like he's going to be the guy. He kind of was last season. RJ Harvey struggled once he got the job. I mean, he was fairly productive. He definitely is great in the passing game. I think that's where he can still be. They also drafted Jonah Coleman. Coleman's very similar to J.K. Dobbins, so I don't know if Coleman has a huge role outside of a J.K. Dobbins injury, but Coleman was a guy I was investing heavily in rookie drafts. If you roster him, don't panic on him, all right? Be patient. He's going to take a minute, all right? But for this season, again, I'm watching J.K. Dobbins, R.J. Harvey. I want to see where that falls out. After that, the Houston Texans is going to be fun. We got some reports already that it looks like David Montgomery, Woody Marks are going to split the top rushing attempts, at least early on in camp, and see where that goes. Both of these guys were fairly close when it came to explosive run rates, stuff rates, and red zone rushing rates. They're a very similar player as far as the advanced data numbers point. Obviously, positionally, they're not. David Montgomery is more of a pounder. You would argue is a better pure rusher than Woody Marks is. Marks offers more in the passing game. I think they say they're splitting these types of roles, and I feel like Marks wasn't used as enough in the passing game last season. Hopefully, we see a little more from that. CJ Stroud's not afraid to unleash it down the field a little bit, though, so I think that's where some of that comes into play. They also have a good safety blanket in Dalton Schultz, so the passing game for the running backs isn't overly great here in Houston, but I do think if they have Montgomery, who could take the load off of Woody Marks on the ground and pound side of it, Marks could see a little bit more opportunity and have some standalone value in the passing game. So I'm just intrigued to see how this folds out. I think Montgomery is the guy that you want to roster again in Dynasty, unless you're contending. He's, what, 29 years old or so? So not a guy that you're really heavily investing in. The next fun, ambiguous backfield, the Jacksonville Jaguars. Bashaal Patton, Chris Rodriguez. And don't forget about LaQuint Allen. I think it's a three-headed monster. I think it's going to be a pain in the butt all season. It's almost to the point of full avoid. Liam Cohen's obviously going to boast his guy in Tutton. They let Etienne walk. Not overly surprised for what he has been. He hasn't been overly efficient the last few seasons. He's been productive, but not efficient. Two different types of categories. Bashaal Patton, a little bit more efficient when it comes down to it. Kind of the guy that this offense wanted. You know, Cohen and them brought him in. Rodriguez is a former Cohen player. And then LaQuint Allen, also another guy they brought in. Allen is the only one that has a secure role, in my opinion. And I don't mean a secure role as in a super fantasy viable role, but he's going to be the passing down guy. He feels like the passing down guy, a little bit better blocker than these other two. And I think that's going to be kind of his role. He's going to be a third down guy. We'll see him on some of the earlier downs, maybe long downs and distances. But LaQuint Allen's role seems pretty locked in. Now, it doesn't mean that there's a ton of fantasy value there. It's a guy that I would definitely be intrigued in, you know, as a toss in some trades, or if I roster him, I'm holding them, especially in Dynasty. Tutton and Rodriguez closer together. The early rankings really have Tutton pushed far ahead of him, and I could see it. Rodriguez does feel a little bit like just a guy. He's been floating around, and he's a productive runner. I really liked what he had at Kentucky, and hopefully we see a little bit more of that here in Jacksonville. I liked what he did in Washington too, though. Like, I mean, it was a small sample size. He wasn't like a prolific runner, but he's a good runner of the football. And Tutton has some questions in that category. Fast guy, explosive, but he needs some improvement as far as the vision, patience, and stuff go. Hopefully we see a little bit more of that this season. I feel like he did get better as the season went on last year. So I do think Tutton can take a step. But I want to see what training camp gives us. You know, does Rodriguez close that gap? Right now, it's a pretty far gap in at least early ADPs for redraft. And honestly, probably even in dynasty value-wise. Like, it's going to cost a lot less to get Crossroads Rodriguez than Tutton. So I'm curious to see how this gap breaks out and see exactly where we're at. Again, I don't know if I'm totally investing in Tutton. I don't totally believe in this Jags running game. I honestly, you know, pay attention to X, aka formerly Twitter. You'll see we just, you know, FTN just posted my famous quote of the year. That, you know, may go down in infamy, I guess. Who knows? We'll see. But I definitely do think Trevor Lawrence has a shot at the QB1 this season. I just don't believe in this rushing attack. I think he's going to have to be using the red zone a bit to run. I think they're going to have to throw the ball and spread it out. I think you're going to see a good amount of Brenton Strange. Tanner Cozio looked pretty good. Thomas Jr. getting back healthy. Parker Washington emerging. Jacoby Myers, Travis Hunter in some packages. Like, I think this team may throw a lot. Add in some rushing touchdowns here or there for Trevor Lawrence. And then that's a dark horse quarterback one. I'm just saying, you know, you might not be able to debunk my boy Josh Allen, and Drake May is going to be around there. You know, can't forget about Lamar and Jaden Daniels. So there's a lot of players in fact here, but dark horse again. Remember what the term means. Could be intriguing. Kansas City, not much to care. Ken Walker's the guy. After that, gets interesting. I think if Walker went down, you'd have a committee with clear cut roles. Just based on the roster. I got Emmett Johnson and Breshard Smith, both passing down backs. Amari DiMercato, big thumper kind of guy coming over from Arizona. Pretty clear cut there if Walker goes down. We don't have to get too much into rocket science for that one. Chargers, same thing. You know, Keaton Mitchell was brought in for an off-speed pitch. Vidal will be their guy early downs if Hampton goes down. But this is an Omarion Hampton show. hopefully, as long as he takes a step forward there. The Rams, look, it's a little more intriguing, but I still think it's Kyren Williams. Blake Corum's going to get some stuff, make it a little bit annoying for us as Kyren managers. Both will probably have some standalone value. Well, I should rephrase. Kyren will definitely have value. Corum will likely have some standalone value. After that, you know, the Vikings could be intriguing. Aaron Jones, Jordan Mason, we saw both of them struggle to stay healthy last season. Maybe rookie Demond Claiborne comes in. Claiborne was exciting at Wake Forest. I think that kid can really play. I don't think, I feel like he slid a little bit in the draft. It was a weaker running back class. Do I think he's a amazing running back? No, not by any means, but I do think he could play. I think given an opportunity, he could make something of himself. So we'll be interested to see how this breaks down, whether it's going to be heavily on either of these three guys. And New England is probably one of the one more fun ones. Does Trevion Henderson take that step forward in pass protection to get himself on the field more? Or is Ramondre Stevenson still going to be there and it's going to be a 50-50 pain in the butt split like last season? That's where I think we're going to be. It needs to be a pain, but interested to see. Going to watch that. The big news, we just talked about Travis Etienne a bit before, but Alvin Kamara likely returning. Kamara and Etienne's ADP and value are so far apart. Obviously, Dynasty, I mean, Kamara, what are you going to give up for him? I mean, you have maybe this season and even just part of the season. We don't even know. But I do think Kamara's involved enough to really sink Travis Etienne, so don't go crazy going to get Travis Etienne. Just saying. Giants, Scataboo, Tracy, clear it's Cam as long as he stays healthy. Nothing crazy there. Pittsburgh is the one kind of mentioned a bit earlier. Again, feels like clear-cut roles. Jalen Warren feels like the passing down guy now again, and Rico Dowdle is going to be their early down rusher. Again, a pain in the butt, running back by committee type of approach. You know, I guess I would lean to, depending on formats, which one you're going to lean to. You know, if you're playing in a standard league, you probably want Rico. If you're in a PPR league, you may want Jalen Warren. Simple stuff like that. I don't have to make it hard, folks. I'm not making it hard. Gonna watch it though. I want to see who emerges there. Yeah, and then the Commanders. It's probably the last one that I'm really, really intrigued in. I think that this offense could have some good production out of this running back room, wide receivers, tight ends. Jaden Daniels, if healthy all year, we saw what they did in his rookie season. So again, I think it's Rashad White. I think Ja'Cory Kroski-Merritt showed like he can be easily passed up last season. Now maybe he can take a step forward. You know, year over year, you can get better. That happens, folks. It happens. But Ka'Tron Allen in there, Jerome Ford, there's some names and some players who can play the game. So we'll see how this unfolds. I'm intrigued, and we'll keep my eyes here. I really do lean to Rashad White and a very affordable player to add to a contending roster that I think could way outreach his value. You're going to have to pay for him and be a guy that really is a weekly asset for us come mid to late season. Wide receivers, I mean, how deep do we want to get? Again, there's a lot of battles that will be going on that we should be paying attention to. As far as how viable they're going to really be, we could probably spend a whole episode on wide receivers. More and more becoming required for us in fantasy, many leagues being three wide receiver, one flex, or three receiver, two flex, especially in Dynasty. So there'll be battles throughout every single roster. So we will be paying attention to every single roster. Led to it earlier. Obviously, I'm excited to see those rookies, you know, Carnell Tate, see where he falls in, Jordan Tyson, Mekhi Lemon. A big one that I'm watching is going to be Luther Burden, Romo Dunze. Where does that fall out? You know, Luther Burden is the hot name this offseason in fantasy, as in the guy that's going to be the Amon-Ra St. Brown in this offense and jump into top 12 territory. Where I'm on the other side, I think Romo Dunze is their guy. Obviously, I know it doesn't sound great that he has to learn a new way to run, as the way that it was put, based on the way that his foot had broken and it never really healed back to the normal way that it was. That doesn't always mean, that's a pain. But the pro athletes, I think that, yes, that was the effect last season. You know, he's now had most of the year, if not a whole year, of recovery and I guess retraining the way he runs, if you want to put it that way, into production. So I'm curious. I'm going to be watching that one. Outside of that, I mean, the Browns, we can argue, is intriguing. But again, I don't believe in the quarterbacks. I don't believe in the passing attack. So, again, you've likely drafted Casey Concepcion. You're hoping that he looks good. If you drafted Denzel Boston, you're hoping he shows some signs. After that, we just, this year, I wouldn't expect much out of that room. The Packers could be interesting. Does Jaden Reed or Matthew Golden step up for what was Romeo Doubs' role? Christian Watson, he's going to have the role he's always had. He's a field stretcher with some serious upside. Texans will be fun. Tank Dell returning. Jalen Noel looked pretty solid. And does Jaden Higgins take that step forward? So those three are something we're going to watch behind Nico Collins. The Colts as well. The Colts, who's their go-to guy? Feels like it's likely Tyler Warren is going to be their big passing threat out of the tight end position. But at receiver, you know, is it Josh Downs or is it Alec Pierce that's going to be the more fantasy viable player? I lean to Josh Downs. I think that his role can be expanded a little bit into the territory of what Michael Pittman was running. Alec Pierce is going to be that deep guy. He's just too good at it to take him out of that role. You paid him to be that and be a field stretcher in this offense. He's still going to have his viability of what he had last season as long as the efficiency continues. But I think Downs could be a really good PPR guy. I think his role expands more than what Pierce would expand as far as fantasy point production goes. So Josh Downs is a guy that I would be paying a ton of attention to and watching here through training camp. The Raiders probably have a fun, intriguing battle going on, as well as the Miami Dolphins. Both of these teams have a bunch of names. They sound somewhat, maybe they're insurance salesmen. Who knows? But Trey Tucker, Jalen Naylor, Jack Besh, Deontay Thornton, Malik Benson, anybody home? Jalen Naylor's intriguing, hot name. I like Jack Besh. I think that in a PPR league, like, he's not exciting. He's Jacoby Myers. That's kind of who he was. Like, and I mean, Jacoby Myers isn't a guy that you clamor over in fantasy, but a guy that's important for us in Dynasty and can really be one of those guys that solidifies the rear part of our flex positions. And I think Jack Besh could be that. He's different than the rest of this group. Most of these guys are field stretchers. Trey Tucker, yeah, he's a little undersized, but he's a field stretcher. Jalen Naylor is a field stretcher. Deontay Thornton, field stretcher. Malik Benson, field stretcher. Like, there isn't a chain-moving player in this receiver room outside of Jack Besh. And obviously Brock Bowers is there, Michael Mayer. So maybe they lean to that. They lean to Jenty maybe in the passing game. But there's an opportunity here for Jack Besh to step up and take a pretty significant role. We talked about it last week on the receiver episode. So just, you know, tune back in. Check it out. All right. The Miami Dolphins, same situation. Like, I mean, there's not much. I mean, Malik Washington's probably your front runner. The returning player. Jalen Tolbert's a guy I like. I know he's probably not gonna, you know, explode and be this wide receiver, top 24 wide receiver. Again, similar to Jack Besh. You know, he might be a wide receiver 3, but we also went over it just a minute ago. Most leagues nowadays, especially in our dynasty leagues, 3 wide receiver or at least 3 or 4 flex. Like, these guys at wide receiver 37 are important. They may not seem it, but they are important. You know, that back half of the roster is a spot that you can have huge advantages and make up for some maybe disadvantages you have at the top end of some of your positional groups. So again, I think Caleb Douglas, Jalen Tolbert, Kevin Coleman's a guy I really liked the tape for him as well. So a lot of rookies in here, a lot of unproven talent. Tutu Atwell, I mean, again, guys that you're worth taking shots on. They're cheap, affordable in Dynasty. Some of these guys may be on your waiver wires. So depending on your roster where you're at, you know, if you're the last place team, maybe you're not taking a huge shot on it. You know, you know your team's in a rebuild. Yeah, I'd maybe take a shot on like Caleb Douglas, Kevin Coleman, maybe went on undrafted. Some of these younger guys, the older guys, probably not investing a ton in. Again, Dynasty 101. Most of us probably know that. But again, after that, not many. I mean, the Giants is intriguing, but it's probably Malik Nabers after that. You know what? Darius Slayton, Mooney, Fields, Calvin Austin, like a lot of Odell Beckham Jr., like names, players. Malachi Fields will be the intriguing, being the rookie coming in. Obviously, for us Dynasty managers, there could be some long-term love there. The Jets staying in East Rutherford here. Scarrett Wilson, and then after that, who is it? You know, is it Omar Cooper or Anani Mitchell? seems early on is probably going to be Adonai Mitchell. And I would lean to that. I'm not a huge Omar Cooper guy. Long term, it's probably Omar Cooper. Simple. Yeah, not much to care about here with the Jets. The Eagles, again, a little interesting, but I do feel like it's just Devonta Smith and Mackie Lemon. I think Wicks would be interesting as well. A little bit of the field stretcher, more of the X with Lemon and Smith kind of. Smith is probably a perimeter guy, and Lemon probably works as their Z. But we'll have to see how that breaks down. So that'll be, I guess, fairly intriguing. Talk myself into it. Intriguing. Steelers is interesting. DK feels like the guy, right? But again, I think Michael Pittman might be. DK feels a little bit limited into what his role is at his age and point. Michael Pittman is a good intermediate route runner. I think that there's a good chance Michael Pittman leads this group. And probably a guy that's pretty affordable when it comes to trades. Jeremy Bernard's going to be interesting as well. More of a Swiss Army knife type of player, able to do a lot of different things. He'll operate and probably take the role that they hoped Roman Wilson and what Calvin Austin was last year for them. So a little bit slower than Calvin Austin, but a guy that I think we'll see some value early on. But other than that, you know, I guess you could argue Tampa Bay is intriguing. Much like most of these places, all the receivers unproven. But who's going to be the guy behind Amika Buka? You know, or is it even Amika Buka? Is it Chris Godwin? That's the guy this year. How involved is Jalen McMillan? Is he far ahead of Ted Hurst? I mean, I think that's your battle you're watching is McMillan and Ted Hurst for that perimeter receiver. Amika Buka and Chris Godwin are two interior type of guys. Buka probably plays outside a little bit more than Godwin this year, but the other outside receiver is going to be either Jalen McMillan or Ted Hurst. That's who's on the roster. That's guys that are going to fit that mold. So those two is a job that I'm going to be watching. The Titans are a little intriguing. You know, is Calvin Ridley done? I'm curious to see where we're at there. Ridley could be an intriguing add. And then Washington, you know, Antonio Williams. It's about the only player I'm watching. You're hoping Terry McLaurin bounces back, but that seems like a given to me. So I'm not overly excited, but I'm excited to see where Antonio Williams falls in this and see if he can take advantage of a huge opportunity in front of him to be the wide receiver two in what should be a fairly potent passing attack here in Washington, just because of the quarterback. Let's put it that way. Tight ends, yeah, we just don't care, right? Who cares about tight ends, right? Really, there's not many battles, I would say, at the tight end position, because even in tight end premium leagues, you're still pretty much starting one tight end. And your top 12 are pretty locked in. You know, your guys like Trey McBride, Pitts, Andrews, Loveland, Kincaid, Fannin, Ferguson, like Laporta, Kraft, like Warren, Kelsey, the list goes on. I guess you're looking at really of how much is one person going to eat into roles. TJ Hockenson's the one I'm going to watch. Minnesota, obviously the carryover from Kyler Murray loving in on Trey McBride. That could be a guy that may see a lot of value here for Minnesota if Kyler Murray wins that job. After that, you know, the Giants would be intriguing. Isaiah Likely has kind of been deemed the guy there. But Theo Johnson had a pretty good rookie season. And so I do think that Theo Johnson could be a guy that comes in and would be a little bit more. We saw the good rookie season. We saw a good sophomore season jump as well, getting to 5 touchdowns. He's going into his third season here and obviously was a guy that Jackson Dart really trusted. So although Isaiah Likely is coming in, Theo Johnson, I think, still could be a little bit of a pain in the thorn for Isaiah Likely. So less of an independent value for Theo Johnson and Isaiah Likely. It's going to be more of a which one's a hindrance to either, or is it not? And it is a clear-cut Isaiah Likely role there. Also, Pittsburgh's interesting. Again, we talked about the receivers. We talked about Pittman maybe being the guy, DK having his role, Jeremy Bernard being a little bit of a Swiss knife. Like, there's also a chance that Freiermuth has some pretty good value as well this season. If he can push ahead of Darnell Washington in the pecking order of targets. We didn't see it last year. It was a little bit more Darnell Washington, but new staff, maybe it's a little different here. Freiermuth has in the past been a very productive fantasy tight end. So who's to say that it couldn't be him? So that's the guy that I'm going to be watching as well. And yeah, after that, you know, there's some excitement for Gunnar Helm in Tennessee, but again, an offense that I'm not overly excited about. And the last guy would be like Chig Okonkwo. I mean, it's intriguing. Again, we just talked about Antonio Williams being a guy that could have some value behind Terry McLaurin. Also, Chig Okonkwo, like, it's the receiver room. Like, I didn't read it off, but Antonio Williams, Luke McCaffrey, Jalen Lane, Treylon Burks, Dyami Brown, Van Jefferson, like, they're guys. Like, there's a good chance. And then behind Chig Okonkwo, John Bates, Ben Sinnott, Anthony Frisker, like, Okonkwo's very different than a lot of these players and a very more big yak production type of player. Good chance that Okonkwo could be a top 12 tight end this season in this offense if they don't add another receiver. So that's one spot I'm going to be watching to make sure and see where his involvement is, a little bit of what that offense looks like and how that looks. I get the one that I guess I glazed over a bit, and we'll close out this one with the Rams. Who is the guy? I think that's the question. Right now, Terrence Ferguson gets drafted earlier in redraft. Colby Parkinson was the guy down the stretch. Tyler Higbee could be healthy now. We saw him kind of reestablish a bit in the playoffs. So they're going to use a lot of them. But which one's like the guy? Ferguson's the most explosive, so I think that's where people are leaning. But I do think Colby Parkinson could still have a role. So if you roster him and you have enough roster space, I do think Colby Parkinson is worth a hold. At least at this point in Dynasty. All right. That's it. That's all I got for you. This is just a quick, you know, general synopsis of where we are with some of these positional battles. My stances prior to training camp really, really kicking in. And we'll be back next week. You know, we'll talk some more maybe individual players on next week's episode. We'll definitely have some training camp news, hype, fun, noise, what to take from it, what not to, as well as more of these camps start up. And we start to get some more clips and some more fun stuff to overreact to here in July/August football. So if you're making your way out to Canton, have fun. All right. If you are listening to this, the Fantasy Football Expo is great. I unfortunately will not be there. Another year hiatus for me. Two little kids, it's hard to leave the wife and say, I'm going to go hang out with my friends for 3 weeks, right? Well, not 3 weeks, 3 days. Geez, 3 weeks would be a long expo. Yeah, it's like, what? That would be like Woodstock, right? Something crazy like that. I don't know. I don't even know if Woodstock was 3 weeks. Either way, back on topic. Yes, have fun at the expo. It's a lot of fun. Don't be afraid to talk to people. Everybody's great. I've been there. Talked to plenty of the guys, even the bigger names. Don't be too afraid to you know, say hi. They'll a lot of them are more fun and apt than you may think, and they're going to definitely reach out and talk to you at least as quickly as they can. They, you know, it's tough. It's tough to get to everybody, too. So if people miss you, don't feel too hurt from it. I've been there, ran through it all. But yeah, have fun. Enjoy it. It goes quick. So soak it in as much as you can. And as always, that's all we got. Check out FTNFantasy.com for the rankings, redraft and dynasty, content as well, all the stats and stuff. We have plenty of fun stuff coming out. The process is out from Jeff Radcliffe for you guys playing redraft and dynasty. Obviously, Aaron Schatz Almanac is also out over there for DVOA. So tons of stuff coming out at FTN, tons of articles. We'll have plenty of stuff, and stay tuned to the Dynasty podcast. Make sure you like and subscribe it and come back next week. I'd appreciate it. Appreciate it. Keep the lights on here. At FTN if you keep coming back. So come back. Great advice. Have some fun with me next week. Until then, take care.